My prayer as always is that God's grace and his peace and his mercy would be yours always. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, it really is just plain good to be a Lutheran. Really, think about it. We understand that we are not saved by our works. We understand that we don't have to earn. In fact, we cannot earn any extra credit or points with God, no matter how much good that we do. We understand that our salvation is based on Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection alone. We even have our own Lutheran Latin slogan, because, you know, if you say it in Latin, it just sounds better, right? So we have sola fide, sola gratia, sola scriptura, which is great if you know Latin. But in English, faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone. We are saved by the faith that God instills in us, not by our own faith, but by the faith the Holy Spirit works in us. That's the reason right there we baptize even the smallest of infants, because we know it is not by human might nor by human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In baptism, what do you bring to the water? Your mess, your sin, otherwise not much of anything, right? In baptism, it's not your work that you're doing for God. It's God's work that he brings to you. You can't contribute anything to that. Just think about that for a moment. What is it that you have that God needs? What riches, what wonders do you have, do you possess that God didn't create? There was a scientist who once got this point a little mixed up. The scientist claimed that he had finally and utterly eliminated the archaic need for God. Man could now become God. The scientist had discovered how to create life out of nothing. Well, God heard about this and, always wanting to keep on top of such things, decided to head down to Earth and to investigate these claims. After all, God had a monopoly on the whole creating something out of nothing thing, and, you know, there could be grounds for copyright infringement. So God left his regal throne and made his way down to Earth and then to the laboratory, and there he found the scientist hard at work. The scientist looked up, saw God, and said, "You can go. We have no need for you any longer. I have replaced you with myself." God, humoring the man, said, "Really? So just what is it you can do that replaces me?" The scientist said, "I can create life out of nothing." The scientist, as you can well imagine, was just a wee bit arrogant in his claims. But God, still humoring the man, said, "Well, maybe we should compare notes. Why don't you show me how you do it? I'll show you how I do it. Maybe we can kind of refine the technique and improve on the whole process." The scientist is quite proud of himself for having God ask him for advice, agreed. And God said, "Well, you go first. I mean, after all, this is all kind of new for you." The scientist began, "Well, first we take some dirt." And God abruptly interrupted. He said, now hold on a minute. You get your own dirt. I made that." Right? The scientist couldn't do it. What do you think you have that God needs? What riches, what wonders that God didn't already create? It is God's faith, not our faith. It's the faith God works in us that saves us. It's God's grace, not our grace. And it's God's word, not our word, that brings about your salvation. you bring nothing to the equation. It's good to be Lutheran because we can rest assured that our salvation is, without a doubt, won for us. And all that needs to be done has been done because it relies solely and only upon God's perfect work, which he accomplished for us perfectly. That's why in the hymn we sing the words, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling." You see, works are unnecessary. They're obsolete. All that is required is that I go to church and put in my hour. Oh, wait. Going to church, that kind of sounds a little bit like a good work, doesn't it? That sounds like work. Maybe I don't have to go to church either. After all, God is in all places at all times. I can worship him anywhere. Church is really for those who are less holy and less pious than myself, those less spiritual than me. I hope you're hearing the problem with that, right? There's something wrong with those claims. Like the scientist, those claims, they jump a little too far. Is it in fact true that works are not required? The answer is yes and no. Let's look at that. Let's start with the epistle reading we had today from James. What he wrote makes it pretty clear. Works are required. He goes so far as to say in verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself is dead if it does not cause you to do any good things. Faith is dead. James is saying that without works, you have no faith. Not at all. In fact, without faith, you're not saved. So it's not heaven that waits for you. Hell is what waits for you. Hell is what waits for you because your faith is dead. So now we got a problem. I mean, one of two things here has to be true. It could be that the Bible contradicts itself. Maybe God's not perfect and his word has mistakes and flaws in it. Probably not. The other possibility is that we're maybe missing something in our search for real truth. I wasn't wrong when I said it's just good to be a Lutheran because we have a great answer for this little conundrum. Luther, as brilliant as he was, sometimes could explain things in the most simple ways that presented such brilliance. He said that there were two kinds of righteousness, which is great, but righteousness, when was the last time you used that word in a conversation? What really is righteousness? Well, righteousness is sort of a churchy word that is a way of saying the good stuff in you. Your righteousness is the good stuff in you, stuff that pleases God. And there is good stuff in you, and it does please God. It's just that there are two different kinds of good stuff, two kinds of righteousness. We understand that our righteousness before God is the work of God alone. It is true that there really is nothing that we can bring to God except our empty hands. We lean on him and him alone for our salvation, and God be praised for that. Do you really want to have any responsibility to ensure that you have eternal salvation? Think about it. What if you missed something? What if you unknowingly made a mistake? What if you forgot something? God will tolerate nothing but his definition of perfection in his presence, and only his definition of perfection. But since our salvation relies on him, we can really know, beyond all doubt, that we really are saved, because he is perfect. And he is the one who has saved us perfectly. He's completed everything perfectly. And that's the first kind of good stuff in us. The work that God has done in us on our behalf to save us. Between us and God, everything always flows down. We can't send anything up to God. We can't get to God. Think about it like this. You've all probably seen the picture of Earth from the moon, right? And it looks like a nice little serene sort of blue planet floating there in space. And of course, you know that space is a lot bigger than that picture, right? There are other planets, and they revolve around our sun, which is really just it's just a star, right? And then it's in a galaxy of billions of other stars, and even our galaxy isn't alone. It's in a structure called a superstructure, a collection of galaxies, and then you got the whole universe, which is a collection of superstructures of who knows countless many of them, and all that is held in the palm of God's hand. If you climbed the top of Mount Everest, the highest point on the surface of our planet, how much closer to God have you really gotten? Not all that far at all. Some people think if you climb to the top of a mountain, there you're just getting closer to God. But not really. We cannot know anything about God unless He comes down and tells us. That's the first kind of righteousness. God coming down to us. It's what we sometimes call vertical righteousness because it's between God and us, and all of it comes from Him to us. In vertical righteousness, everything flows down. It all comes from God. But then there's another kind, what we sometimes call horizontal righteousness, horizontal good stuff. It's the good stuff between us and those people around us, our neighbors. Between them and you, there is a second kind of righteousness, and that righteousness requires good works. You are required by God to do good works because your neighbor needs you to. There are times when you may know of someone who is in need and you have the means to fulfill that need. You should. Your neighbor needs you to. When you contribute to various social charities or when we as a congregation send resources to people, whether it here locally in Austin or to the distant corners of the earth, when you do that, you're doing good works. Works that help our fellow man. Now, previously I mentioned that coming to church is a good work. Is it really? Well, sure it is. You come to church for a number of reasons, but the two big ones are, first, to strengthen and grow in your own faith, and second, is to support and help those around you who maybe are being tested in their faith or who are not as strong in their faith. If church was really only a place for the weakest of Christians, when they came, who would they have to look up to? When you who are strong in your faith come and worship here, your presence can bolster up and support those who are not as strong as you, or who are going through various difficult trials. By obeying God and coming to worship as He tells us to do, you're not earning any points with God. In that respect, you're simply doing what God commands you to do, but you are earning something with your neighbor. You're earning their respect. You're earning their love because you're here. There's a poem. The end of it goes like this. The question. Oh, sad. Oh, me, oh, sad, reoccurring. What good amid these? Oh, me, oh, life. The answer. That you are here. That life exists and identity. That the powerful play goes on. And you will contribute a verse. You see, simply because you are here, you contribute to the powerful play of what is the work of the Christian church on earth, spreading the word of God. Just because you are here, others are helped and strengthened. Because you are here, others are encouraged. Because you are here, others can remember to hold fast to that faith while they're being tested. Because you are here, you are doing the good work of God. You're being a faithful Christian man or Christian woman, honoring God and supporting your fellow neighbor simply because you're here. And that's just the beginning. From here, it grows outward. It grows out into your life, into the community in which this congregation exists and operates, and then further out into the county, into the state, the nation, and to as far into the world as God would have us reach. That's what all this is about. Doing the work of God and loving our neighbor as ourself. The works of God are probably ultimately summed up in the words of Jesus at the end of Matthew 28. All good works have a singular goal, and that is this: wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have commanded you. You see, all good works should have a single goal, a single purpose: to strengthen the faith of the weak and to share that faith with those who don't yet know it. So when we as a congregation are doing those good works, people on the outside, they see it. When they visit us here, they see it. That righteousness is simply the hospitality they receive when they walk through the door and the friendly faces and warm greetings they encounter. That's part of what evangelism is all about, bearing witness to God. But the best way to do that is through our actions first, and then through our words, as we teach God's word to all people. It's good to be a Lutheran. We can and we should take pride in our faith and in our confessions. We have the peace of being righteous before God because God made us so, and righteous before each other because God told us to be so. And that we can do only because God has blessed us and enabled us to be a witness for him. There's a phrase that fits. I hear it from time to time, and it does kind of fit. You may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. The church is the body of Christ. And as such, our work is to spread his word. There's a song by Casting Crowns. I don't know if I don't get to listen to as much Christian radio these days, but it used to be on the radio a lot by Casting Crowns. The title of the song is called "If We Are the Body." The chorus goes like this: if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Those are really good words. There's another song by a gentleman named Brian Heath. Again, this used to be on the radio a lot. This one's called "Give Me Your Eyes." And the chorus to that one goes like this: give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. You see, you might just be the only Jesus some people ever see. That opportunity to share with them who Jesus is, how Jesus has saved them, and why that is such a treasure. Our goal in life should be to emulate Jesus. Will you ever achieve that goal? Probably not this side of heaven's gates, but it's good to try. It's good to be patient with one another. It's good to be honest with one another. Just be Christian with one another. In all of that, we are doing the work of God, the work that God has given us to do in Jesus' name. Amen.